Hello, and welcome to Liberated Living Ministries with John and Beverly Sheesby. You are listening to the series, Living as the Bride. And now with the Word, here's Beverly.
We spoke yesterday morning about who is the bride and the preparation of the bride and how he wants to come and kiss his bride with the kisses of his mouth. Who of you weren't here yesterday? Well, you just need to get the tape. That's all I can say. Because he wants to kiss his bride with wonderful kisses of his goodness, and it's always good. And this morning, I want to share with you the next verse. Let's take up the Song of Solomon, and we're going to read the first four verses again. And we'll just take up where we left off yesterday. The Song of Songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. Draw me away. We will run after you, and the king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you, and we will remember your love more than wine. Remember yesterday I said that the Song of Solomon is a duet of the bride singing and the bridegroom singing, and them singing together and just enjoying each other's company, and the bridegroom just exalting the bride and the bride exalting the bridegroom. And you know, if I could give you a little bit of homework, if you've got a little bit of time between now and tomorrow, go read through the Song of Solomon. It'll bless you. You know, if you've got the Living Bible, read through it in the Living Bible. It tells you who's speaking when and who, you know, what they're actually saying. But go, it'll take you about 40 minutes to read through it, and it'll bless you. And when you realize that you are the bride and that he's really speaking about you, and you might be saying, oh, no, that can't be. There's no way. I mean, he wouldn't call me his dove, his fairest one. Oh, the loveliest of all. He wouldn't call me the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. He wouldn't say that about me. Yes, he would. You know why? Because he's put his love upon you. And you are so special to him. He loves you. This morning I want us to look at verse 3. Because of the fragrance of your ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. When I read that verse, my heart immediately quickened to Esther chapter 2 and verse 12. And you know the whole story of Esther, and I'm not going to go into it. But chapter 2 and verse 12 talks about Esther and the preparation that all the virgins went through before they were brought into the king's chamber. They would, for a whole year, they were set aside before they were ever ready to come into the king's chamber. For 6 months, they were anointed with myrrh. And then for 6 months they were anointed with perfumes and preparations for beautifying a woman. But so for a whole year they went through the preparation before they were ever brought into the king's chamber. And you know what I really believe God is doing in this day and age? And in fact what I believe he's doing in this meeting this week, if you've got ears to hear, and if you've got a heart that he will yield to him, he's pouring out his anointing oil upon his bride. He's pouring out his anointing oil upon his bride. And I trust that over the next half an hour, you're going to understand a little bit more of what that anointing oil does and what it is. I did a study on, as you study through the Word, all anointing oil contains the one ingredient, and they have different ingredients, but one that seems to be a common denominator through them all, and that's the ingredient of myrrh. Myrrh. So I did a little study. I took the encyclopedia and I wanted to know what myrrh was all about. And I discovered that the myrrh tree is a little tree, a very small little bush-like tree that grows, you know, in the rocky outcrops in Israel. And they would take the myrrh tree and they would draw the sap out of this myrrh tree. And that sap is what they use to anoint the bride, or the in preparation of the bride. Because they discovered that the myrrh sap, the sap that came from the myrrh tree, had wonderful qualities. Listen to some of the qualities the myrrh has. It was used, anytime you hear the word myrrh, I discovered this too, it means change. There's change about to happen. And I want to tell you that as I've yielded to the anointing of myrrh, change has happened within me. Change. I'm going to tell you some of those changes this morning. But the myrrh speaks of change. It was it's used to anoint the living and embalming the dead. And seeing we the living, it's going to change us. They would rub that myrrh, a sticky gum-like substance, on the skin, and it would be used to take all the dead skin off. You know how we ladies take these loofah things, you know, and we scrub our heels or our legs. And now I know you men don't know anything about it, but you know, this is what your wife does in the dark to get rid of all her old dead dry skin, you know. And she would rub that. They would take myrrh. And they would rub it on their skin, and it would remove all the dead, old, dead, dry, hard, crusty skin off of their skin. Oh, can you ever see a picture in that? He provides the anointing oils in order for us to rub them on our skin so that all the dead, old, dry skin. Go study Ephesians chapter 5. I'm telling you, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and present her, how? Spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish. I mean, he's going to do it for us. So they would take this myrrh, rub it on their skin, it would remove all the dry, dead skin, and then it would also have a medicinal value. So if there was any blemish on the skin at all, it would bring healing to the skin. It would heal whatever blemish there was on the skin. So myrrh was valuable for that as well. It also had beautifying qualities. It seemed to remove wrinkles. It as they rubbed it on it, like, you know how when we put face masks, these green or white face masks we put on our faces, ladies, when we're all alone at home at night, and you know how it pulls all the skin together like that? It's supposed to take all the wrinkles out your face. That's what myrrh did. It would remove all the wrinkles. Oh, he's coming back for a bride that has no wrinkles. I'm just giving you this all as a foundation this morning. And then they would add perfume to the myrrh. So the myrrh was not only taking away the dead skin, healing the blemishes, removing the wrinkles, making the skin look beautiful and fresh and youthful again. But it was also, it had a wonderful fragrance and would leave the skin feeling wonderful. The Lord, and you know, all that these young virgins had to do was yield their bodies. Just yield their bodies for somebody else to come and rub in the myrrh, rub in the anointing oil all over them so that all that stuff could take place. I'm telling you, the revival that God is sending upon his people all across this earth is a yielding revival. We have worked so hard. We've striven so hard. I mean, we've like, be ye holy as I'm holy. By gum, I'm going to get holy. And I'm going to cut this out of my life. And I'm going to cut that out of my... And I'm going to discipline my mind. And I'm going to discipline my life. And I'm going to do all these things because I'm going to be holy. And how many of you know more holy today than you were 10 years ago when you started? Because I'm telling you, the enemy just beats you down with all this condemnation. And you just get, like I said yesterday, one duck in the row and the other two are scattering, you know. You never seem to get it all together because, you see, we cannot do it. And he knew that we couldn't do it. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. And that's why he's pouring out the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit upon us. Like John preached last night, and let's take time just to look there for a minute, in Isaiah, and chapter 10, and this defines the anointing oil. Chapter 10 and verse 27 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that the burden will be taken away off your shoulders, the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. And John defined it last night, Allah Krefla Dollar, that the anointing oil, the anointing has come to remove the burdens and to destroy the yokes and smash them into 50,000 lousy pieces so that the power of God can come on us and liberate us into all that he wants us to be. Now the word anoint literally means three things. It means to smear, to rub on, or to be poured over. It means it's like, the word anoint, it's just like smear it on, rub it over, pour it over me, Lord. You know, the first time I yielded to this anointing was about nearly 4 years ago now. And I remember so clearly, I mean, I was just like many of you were on Sunday night, looking, oh, good night, I'm never going to make a fool of myself like that person. There is no way, I am a lady. I mean, I'm a lady. And I'm not going to lie on the floor and you know, roll around and do that stuff. you know what? I became so hungry that hunger absolutely overshadowed any false modesty that I might have had. When I got so hungry to know him and all of his power in my life, I didn't care what I looked like. I didn't care who thought what of me. I didn't care who was seeing me. I was just saying, Lord, it's between you and me alone. And I want everything you have for me. Because I am so sick of the powerlessness in my life. I'm so sick of seeing people in such desperate needs. And all I could give them was worldly wisdom. And I had no power to say to that devil, get out in Jesus' name and see it flee. And see the burden being removed. And the yoke being destroyed off their shoulders. And seeing the power of God come upon them. I'm just going to give you this little illustration because it's so fun. Last week we were in a church in another part of the United States, and there was a girl that came to three of our meetings in the evening, and she was absolutely consumed with anorexia. She was on the point of death. In fact, they were feeding her through a tube through her mouth and on the last through her nose, because she was on the point of death. Well, the preacher's wife came and got me out of the service and said, would you come and minister to this girl, 19 years old. 19 years old. Has been this way for 4 years. And as we sat in that room, the first thing out of her mouth, she couldn't even look at me, she said, I'm dying, they're going to kill me. And I said, oh boy, I mean, you know, something rose up within me. You know what? I have the power of God in me. I've got the power by the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon me to destroy every yoke of bondage on that girl's shoulders. I got so excited. Oh, it was so fun. It's like I cast those devils out and I saw them leave. I mean, it was great fun. I had the best time. It was glorious because, you see, anorexia, bulimia, call it what you like. I mean, I got the power within me. They don't intimidate me anymore because, you see, I've been set free. And by the same power that I've been set free, others can be set free as well. By the end of an hour and a half, that same girl who couldn't even talk, I mean, the devils were just talking through her, was sitting there smiling, talking in a normal voice, looking me slap bag damn in the eyes. I mean, just a transformed person. Her mother wept when she saw her daughter. The next day, the mother called the pastor of the church and said, I want to tell you, my daughter is sitting there. The Lord had told me to give her a ring. And it was a heart-shaped pink stone, beautiful ring with two little gold butterflies on the side. And the Lord said, this is my heart for you. And the butterflies on each side of the stone represent what you are. You're coming out of this dark cocoon the devil has had you shackled and bound in, and you're going to spread your ring. You see, the power of God was upon me. And as he has set me free, I've had the power to set other people free. But I want to tell you, I do yield to that anointing. Oh, the mother said about the girl, today she's sitting there looking at her ring and she's listening to tapes. She's a transformed girl. You see, you know, I was in South Africa last year and I've been asked to speak at a conference, a national conference, and they'd asked me to speak in walking in a new anointing. And as I was preaching and I gave the invitation and all these preachers came forward, and one preacher came up to me at the altar and he said this to me, I'm a preacher, I'm bound with pornography and lust and prostitution, please help me. I'm telling you, you know, something just rose up in me. I grabbed him by the ears. I said, you come out of him. You foul devil from hell. Get out of him. And this is in front of a big Baptist conference. His whole body contorted like this and he fell to the floor. But I'm telling you, that man got set free. You know what? It's yielding to the anointing. And 4 years ago, when I saw this anointing, I said, oh God, how I want it. How God, how I desperately desire it in my life. I'm so hungry for this anointing. And as I yielded to the anointing, I would just come forward just like many of you have done in the nights. And I would lie there. Many times I felt nothing happening. Because you see, I had to learn this too. We are so mind conscious in this Western culture we're in. And we think if nothing's happening in my mind, then nothing is happening. Wrong. Because the Spirit of God works in our spirit man. And our spirit man is down here. It's not up here. And so as I opened up my spirit man to him, I'm telling you, he began to change me deep down. And soon after a little while, there came the blade, and there came the stalk, and there came the full head of corn, and I saw the fruit. As I opened up my spirit, man, the Holy Spirit began to change me deep in my guts, man, deep inside of me. And eventually it was manifest in my mind, and eventually it was manifest in my life. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't be discouraged if you think nothing is happening to you. Just keep yielding to the Spirit. Well, the one night as I was lying on the floor, it was like there was a fire burning in my belly. It was like a big pot of gold. And you know how you make a fire and a pot of gold? And the fire would burn and burn, and the scum and the dirt and the impurities would rise to the surface. And the potter or the goldsmith would take a scoop and scoop of all the impurities. And as the Spirit of God was just working in me, as I was yielding my body, as Paul says, as a living sacrifice unto him, holy and as acceptable unto him, as I just yielded myself to him, he began to burn within me. And these things began to come up into my conscious mind. It's like this, I mean, little sins, motives of the heart, things that I hadn't thought of for years. And as they come up into my mind, it's like the Lord was standing there and scooping them away. Scooping them away. And at one point I said, Lord, hang on, let me repent. Let me say, I'm so sorry. He says, it's okay. And he just kept burning and stuff. And you know, I can't even remember all the sins except for two things. You see, and the Lord said, those two things, I want you to go home and confess them to John because they involved him and put them right with him. But you see, as I yielded to the anointing oil, he started to take off the dead skin off of my body as I just began to yield. Well, as I kept yielding, I mean, I got hungrier and hungrier. That's one of the things that the anointing does. It makes you so hungry for more of him. It's like, oh Lord, I know there's more. And we sat through 4.5 weeks, morning and evening. There were many nights that I'd go home drunk, that John and my son Brad would have to carry me out to the car, just like I was last night. I was so drunk last night, my legs felt like they had rubber in the knees. They just wouldn't hold me up. And it's just like they would carry me, but I was yielding to the anointing of the Spirit. Didn't know all that he was doing, except I was just yielding to him. And I eventually, one night, I'd been yielding to the Spirit, and I didn't even get prayer. I couldn't make it to the line to go stand in the line. I was on the floor, right at my seat, drunk as a coot. I mean, like, I can't see straight. I'm so drunk. But the Spirit of God is all over me. And I've learned I don't have to be embarrassed about that. I don't have to be nervous about it. He's going to do me good. It's going to be always for my good. So I'm just sitting there, and the Spirit of God said, I'm going to strike you dumb. So when John came, eventually John had been in the line, and, you know, after he got off the floor, this is like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and he comes back to me, and I said, I couldn't speak. It was like there was a lead blanket upon my vocal cords. Ever been to the dentist and they put that lead apron on you? That's how it was in my vocal cords. Like, my mind was trying to tell my vocal cords to say something and they wouldn't respond. And so I couldn't speak. Went home awfully quiet in the car going home. But how many of you know it's a sign and a wonder when a woman can't speak? But God had to still my mouth so that he could deal with my spirit, man. And so as I yielded, all, I don't think I was unconscious one moment through that night. Because all night long, like a stuck gramophone record, you know those old needles that go around? It was like stuck. Going through my spirit and going through my mind was this phrase, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All the time, just going through my mind. Got up the next morning, still couldn't speak, wrote a few notes to John. I still got those notes. I kind of found them the other day, and they just, I just got goosebumps in my spirit all over. It's like my spirit just did a somersault because it was such a strategic point in my life. Went to the meeting that morning, and as I sat there and praise and worship was going on, it's like I could not sing because I still could not speak. But as I sat there, I cried out to God. I said, oh God, I'm so hungry to know your power and your anointing saturating every part of my life that I have no desire to live another day if I can't know that power in my life. And this wasn't a suicide threat to God, or, you know, it wasn't that at all. It was just such a hunger that was in me. And I even said this. I said, Lord, my husband can find another wife. You know, he's a good-looking man, and he'll be snapped up in no time. But just take me on to you. I'd rather be with you in glory than be here another day on this earth if I can't know your power. I said, I've grown my kids. They both love you. They both know you. Take me on to you in glory. Just take me home if I can't know your power. That's how hungry I got. And as we were leaving the meeting that morning, I went up to a friend, and as I put my arms around her and I just hugged her, it's like my whole life flashed before my eyes. And the Spirit of God said to me that, he said this, Beverly, this day I place before you a crossroads. He said, you can choose the anointing or you can choose security. You see, especially for a woman, I'm telling you, that hit me right below the belt. It's like I wanted security more than I wanted anything else. And he said, you can choose the anointing, which is incredibly secure. The devil wants to tell you that it's not, but it really is. Or you can choose the security of having a house and a home and a ministry and everything tacked down and in order and secure that you know the next 20 years ahead of you. And as I stood there, I said, oh God, forgive me. This day I repent. And I choose your anointing. Pour it out upon me, Lord. I choose your anointing. And instantly my tongue was loosed. And I went to John and I just cried all over his shoulder, mascara all over his shirt, and just snot and tears everywhere. I mean, I just didn't care, you know. I was so under the hand of God. And I said, would you forgive me for forcing your hand in giving me a house? Just a few years previously, I'd said, I never want to move again. I've moved so many times, I don't want to move again until we buy our own house. Now, there's nothing wrong in owning your own house. Understand this. But for me, it was, I was choosing to put down my roots and be secure, and I was choosing against the anointing. So I asked his forgiveness. We prayed together. We left that church about 3 o'clock that afternoon, came home and immediately put our house on the market and said, Lord, we don't know where this is going to lead us, but we know that our life is not worth a hill of beans, as they say in West Texas, unless we have all of your anointing in our lives. And oh, how desperately I want it. How desperately I want it. And the Lord told me 2 things about the anointing oil. He said, first of all, he said, the anointing will cost you everything. And I'm just putting this right out there. It's going to cost you everything. If you really go after it, like I have, like I started off by saying yesterday, I have found the pearl of greatest price. I have found the treasure in the field. I have sold everything that I have in order to obtain this. If you really go after God, in all of his glory, in all of his power, and as you yield to the anointing of that he wants to pour out on his bride, it'll cost you everything. But it'll also give you everything. It'll give you everything. That's the first thing he told me. The second thing he told me was this. You've got to allow the anointing oil to totally saturate every part of your life. It can't be like another piece of the pie. Well, you know, I've got this big pie, and one of the sections of the pie is the anointing. Not at all. The anointing covers you from head to toe. Do you remember when Moses anointed Aaron? Do you remember that? He took the oil, and we know that he poured it on his head. It ran down his beard. It ran down all this gorgeous priestly garments that had just been made, all the way down to the very hem of the garment. The anointing oil has got to change every part of you. And I want to tell you, for the 4 years that I've been yielding to the anointing. Even last night, as I yielded fresh to that anointing, he was doing more things in my heart. He was taking away more dead skin. He was giving me such a thankful heart that within me was rising up from my spirit. Oh Lord, I'm so very, very, I'm so very, very thankful to you for all that you've done in me. But the anointing's got to cover every part. It just can't be a little piece of the pie. I want to tell you, it's got to cover every part. As we've yielded to the anointing, the Spirit of God has changed every area of our lives. Every area. It's changed our marriage. It's changed the way John and I speak to each other. It's changed this. Do you know one of the wonderful verses in the Song of Solomon, the bridegroom says about the bride, he has outlined her lips in red. You know, every time I put that lip liner on your lips, girls, he's outlined my lips. They've been touched with the blood. They've been touched with the blood. This is such a neat story, and I want to tell you the story. There's an old lady, bring me back to this point, all the other things he's touched in our lives. There's an old lady that lives in Roswell, New Mexico. And we did a 3-week meeting there, and she's 70 plus, you know. And she would just come every day, morning and night, yield to the anointing. And, you know, you might say, well, she's old. What's God going to do in her life? You know, how could she can't go traveling all across the world. But I'm telling you, the anointing has touched this woman. She had experiences of going into her apartment and smelling the fragrance of fermenting wine. And she says, oh, have I got old peach skins lying around? Searched her house, couldn't find anything. But it was the smell of the new wine that the Spirit was giving her. But anyway, she wrote us this wonderful story and how one day she was looking out of her window and there was a nurse that always came to the apartments, and this nurse would park directly in front of the gate, and it made it very hard for Reed to get in and out of the gate. So she was praying and she said, Lord, would you please let that nurse park to the one side of the gate? And so she had just gotten out of bed. She hadn't combed her hair. She had fuzzy slippers on and she had an old house coat on. And she looked out the window and the nurse had just arrived. And sure enough, the nurse had parked on the one side of the gate. And so Reed just said, oh, Lord, I'm so thankful. Thank you for telling that to that nurse. And the Lord said to Reed, go right down and tell her yourself. So here she is. And in her letter, she says this, I'm an old lady, haven't combed my hair. I've got all this hair standing up, fuzzy slippers, house coat. She goes down to go tell the nurse thank you. And as she gets about 8 foot from the nurse, about to speak to say thank you, the nurse says to her, well, I know you're a Christian. Do you watch this program? Do you know these two people? And she started to criticize some other Christian people. And as she did, the Holy Spirit said to Ree, they are anointed people. Do not speak against them. Let me read what Ree said. I've got her letter here. It's powerful, I'm telling you, because the Holy Spirit wants to touch. The anointing oil has got to touch our lips, guys and gals. It's got to touch our lips, because we defeat ourselves by our lips. She says this. She began to talk about two couples really gossip and asked my opinion. And I said, well, they probably have biblical reasons for doing what they're doing. And the Holy Spirit said to me, no, they are anointed. Remember David and Saul. So this was a strong check in my spirit. And I told the lady, I apologize for saying what I did about those two couples. They are anointed, and I do not talk about people who are anointed. And I said, David wouldn't talk about Saul and go against him, because Saul had been anointed. And I said, it is between those couples and God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. As I said the word Holy Spirit, I waved my hand like this from left to right in an arc. And the lady screamed. The purse, books, and things she had in her arm almost fell. I was about 8 feet away. I began to walk towards her, and she yelled, I can hear, I can hear. God, it just opened up her ears. She'd had a healing in her ears. It was like something electric. I went to her, praising the Lord. I barely touched her ears. She fell backwards and was caught in an angle of about 45 degrees. And as she fell, I said, oh, Jesus. I know an angel caught her because she was raised up. Her face shone, oh so bright. She gathered her things in her arms, straightened up and began laughing. She turned and walked down the sidewalk, giggling. I went back into the apartment and fell on my knees. I was in awe. Walking in the Spirit is at ease, big letters. It is more natural than natural is. There is no effort, for we are not doing it. All I can say is God is so good. I want to be yielded at all times so that that experience that happened that day will happen to me every day. It really shows that a person can do anything. You yield and He flows through you. I'm in awe. I'm telling you, our lips have been touched. Our conversation, when we get back to the hotel room, I want to tell you, our hearts, our lips are touched by the power of God. Our conversation has been changed. Our relationship has changed. Our marriage relationship has changed. The intimacy of marriage has changed between us. Every part of us, my kids have changed. Our relationship with my children have changed. Our finances have changed. I want to tell you, we have been delivered, gloriously delivered. The yoke of poverty has been forever destroyed off of us. I want to tell you, 4 years ago, we were eating three times a day. Can you believe that? Because we had no money. We couldn't even pay our bills. But the yoke of poverty has forever been broken off of us, smashed into 50,000 lousy pieces, and the devil can never put it back on our shoulders again because we know who we are. We've allowed the anointing to touch our finances. And I want to tell you, if you come every night and you listen to the teachings that John is teaching before the offering teachings, your life will be changed. Your finances will be changed. That poverty booger will be taken off of you. And you never have to yield your neck again to the booger of poverty, because that's what it is. It is not a godly, holy, wonderful thing to be poor. It's a curse from hell to be poor. Do you know that? And that poverty has been taken off of our necks. And I want to tell you today, I'm rich. Boy, I own it all. I'm the bride of Christ, and everything that I have need of, He has bountifully supplied towards me. It's glorious. He's touched our finances. He's totally transformed our ministry. Totally transformed our ministry. We don't have to go, you know, calling up pastors and trying to work meetings. And, you know, some of you don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but that is what goes on behind. I'm telling you, we hear His voice. We go where He says, whether it's to a group of 2,000 or it's to a group of 20. We just are free to hear His voice. I've been delivered from a deaf and dumb spirit. I've been delivered from that horrible thing of rejection. I'm telling you, God has so totally set us free as we've yielded to the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you something. These are the days where He's pouring out His anointing oil upon His bride. He's pouring it out. And the only thing you have to do is to yield. That's it. That's it. Yield. Paul said, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, you know it, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as what? Living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. Quit striving. Quit trying to please Him. Quit all that anxious, nervous stuff and just yield. Let the anointing flow from your crown of your head to the soles of your feet and touch every part of you. And you know, whether I'm in a meeting or whether I'm not in a meeting, you know, we're leaving here on Sunday. But that doesn't stop the anointing from flowing. Every day I'm saying, Lord, I yield to your anointing today. Come and wash over me. Change me. Remove the blemishes. Remove the dry skin. Create the life of Christ in me. The anointing oil. So powerful. Some of you have said, well, why all the laughter? Well, I'll just give you this quick little testimony. The beginning of middle of December, we went up to see our dentist in Carlsbad, New Mexico. He's kind of taken our family's teeth on as his project. It's wonderful. And I mean, John's got like about 15 crowns in his mouth, and you know, but my daughter needed to have her wisdom teeth removed. She's 22, and she's heard all the horror stories. How many of you have heard horror stories about wisdom teeth being removed? I mean, your mouth swells up. You got blood in your mouth. You wake up with this big ball of blood, and then you get a dry socket, and you got to go back, and they got to stitch these things. I mean, it's miserable. I mean, and you're in bed for a week because you're just like this, and you lose 10 pounds. You can't eat. I mean, all the horror stories. She'd heard them all. So she's got to have 3 wisdom teeth removed. And she goes to the dentist, and she is nervous. I mean, because she's heard all these horror stories. And I'm just praying. I mean, I'm just praying. We're all just praying. So he puts her in the chair, and we all had our teeth seen to. And he gives her laughing gas. And before he gives her the shots, you know, to deaden everything. And she's lying in the chair, cackling like an old hen. I mean, she's laughing so loud that throughout the whole place, you could just hear Tracy laughing. Laughing, laughing, laughing. Eventually, he comes into her and he says, "Now, Tracy, just hold still. I need to give you a shot, you know." And she can't stop laughing. He gives her a shot. He had to cut some of these teeth out, you know, stitch her up, pulls out the 3 teeth. And he says, "Well, that's all, Tracy." And she says, "You mean you finished?" Laughed through the whole thing. Never felt a thing. You know what? The Lord showed me a wonderful picture. He said, "I want to remove those pesky, horrible things from our bride. And I want to give them laughing gas while I do it." Isn't it more fun to laugh than to cry? You know, there's such a fine line between laughter and crying. You know that? And he says, "Let the joy, in the presence of the Lord, there is what? Fullness of joy." Why do we have to believe that in the presence of the Lord, there is miserable sorrow? And we've got to cry, and we've got to have our mouths swollen up, and we've got to be beaten over the head and thrashed our backs, and we're going to come out there bloody and bleeding. In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. And so he pours out the oil, anointing oil. Psalm 45, go read it. He pours out the anointing oil of joy upon his bride so he can remove those horrible wisdom teeth and the stuff that's plagued you. I can't tell you how many testimonies we could tell you today of people who've laid on the floor, laughed uncontrollably, haven't known what in the world God's doing, but they get up from the floor and they are transformed. Transformed. People set free from... There was a woman in Abilene who came to our meetings. I didn't know her story, didn't know anything about her, never seen her, didn't know her from a bar of soap. And she laid hands on her, she fell on the floor, laughed uncontrollably, came back the next about 3 nights later, came forward every time, 3 nights later and told us, she said, "I've been in psychiatric hospitals. I've been on 5,000 drugs this long, perhaps not 5,000, but a whole lot of drugs this long." And she said, "I want to tell you, God has absolutely delivered me. I don't know how he did it. But as I lay on the floor and yielded to the Spirit, and he poured out the oil of joy all over me, that burger left. And I am free. I'm not taking any more drugs. I'm set free. I'm set free. In fact, I've even called my doctor, and he can't believe the change in my life." I want to tell you, don't be offended by what the Lord is doing in this day. If you don't want the joy, well, then you can have the tears if you like. But I'm telling you, joy is so much better. And if you never get the joy, it's okay. He's still doing a work in your spirit. He's pouring out the anointing oil on his bride. And he says, "Bride, will you quit striving and will you just yield?" Let's pray. Oh, Lord, you're so wonderful. You're so wonderful. Oh, you're so wonderful. You provide the anointing oil that sets us free. You provide the anointing oil that takes away all the deadness, dryness, barrenness out of our lives. You provide the anointing oil that removes all the yokes that the enemy's put on us. All the burdens, the heavy burdens of depression and poverty and rejection and the fear of rejection and all this stuff. You've removed it from us, Lord. You've removed it from us by the anointing oil. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name this morning to pour out such a hunger upon your bride that she will desire you more than life itself. That she will desire you. She'll desire you. She'll long just to be in your presence. Long to just be yielded to the Spirit, to allow the Spirit to pour over every part of her life. Just to be yielded so that you can take us, transform us into a spotless, without blemish, without wrinkle, absolutely pure, holy, acceptable unto God, the bride you're preparing for your Son. Lord, I release this morning such a hunger upon your bride that they will desire nothing. You know, it's like, Lord, they're going to desire you more than food. They'll desire you more than any TV program, any book they might read, anything else. They'll desire you. You know what? Just open up your spirit right now and say, Lord, I want that hunger. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 1, the rich He has sent empty away, but the hungry He has filled with good things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be your name. I speak the blessing of your glorious Spirit upon your bride this morning. In Jesus' name.
This is the conclusion of this teaching. You have been listening to the ministry of John and Beverly Sheesby. For more information on this and other available teachings, please visit our website at www.liberatedliving.com. God bless you and thank you for listening.